We want to turn into our Bibles to Romans chapter 13 for our message today. Thank you, Tina, for that good, powerful hymn. This is my story. Hallelujah. We want to look in Romans chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 7 for our passage this morning. Romans 13, 1 to 7. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, avengers who bring wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Speak to us now, Holy Spirit, anoint and minister, and put your word deep in our hearts, and we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a powerful passage of scripture that's relevant back in Paul's day as well as today. The truth of God's word is eternal, and here is a passage that speaks about submission to authority. Now, I know many people don't like that concept of submitting to the governing authorities. They have, many in our day and back in Paul's day, have a rebellious nature, a rebellious spirit, and they rebel against leadership. Sometimes you even find that in the church, the rebellious nature. And Jude 8 mentions some of these people. It says, yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. This attitude is prominent in our world today. And in Paul's day, some believers believed because their citizenship was in heaven. You know, Paul said to the Philippian church in 3 verse 20, he said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that scripture, some Christians in Paul's day thought they were free from their obligation to the government. You know, I'm not under the law. I've been set free. Well, Christians had been mistreated and faced many injustices by the governing powers. So many also felt they did not have to respect and submit to governing authorities, to the authority of the government. So to counteract these errors, Scripture presents the biblical attitude towards governing authorities. The Bible has the teaching here that we are to be in submission. And as Christians, as believers, submitting to governing authorities, that's our attitude. That should be our attitude, that we are submitted to those in authority over us. And in this passage, Paul the Apostle gives us three reasons why submission to governing authorities is to be the attitude of the believer. And the first reason is because the authority is from God. The authority of our government comes from God. Whether you like the government or not, whether you're whatever party you are, who, you know, whatever our affiliation is, the authority of those in government comes from God. Now, sometimes we don't like what's happening, but remember, God is in control. That's what I love. I'm a Christian, and I know my God's on the throne. We have all kinds of different governments here and there, you know, but God is on the throne. And so when you know that, there's a peace in your heart in these last days when there's all kinds of things happening. The Lord's on the throne. Christians are to regard any government power, whatever, as divinely ordained, since it has not come into existence without the operation of God's will. Do you believe that? Pretty quiet. God is the one that sets them up, and God's the one that takes them down. And we need to remember that. With this attitude, a Christian can then submit to the authorities as submitting to God's will. Daniel emphasized this during the kingdom of Babylon. Remember? Daniel said that God's the one who removes rulers and God's the one that sets them up. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, the scripture says here, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. God's in control. This is his world, and he's on the throne above all governing authorities. And so you know God knows what he's doing. Daniel emphasized during the kingdom of Babylon, he emphasized when the pagan king made an image of himself and wanted his subjects to worship it. Remember what Daniel said and did in the book of Daniel? We need to remember that God even allows wicked rulers as instruments of his purpose. The king wanted everybody to worship him, and he had that great image there. And so he is telling people, worship the image. Well, you know what happened. You know the story. Well, we need to remember that God even allows wicked rulers as instruments of his purpose. And Romans chapter 9, verse 17 says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Imagine, Pharaoh, who was out to kill and suppress the Jews, the nation of Israel. And God said, you're raised up for this time. God had a purpose. God knows what he's doing. In Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, the scripture says, but indeed for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power, and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. God is on the throne, and don't ever forget it. You might not like your government, you might not like the different things that happen, but God is on the throne. He's on the throne. When Paul wrote Romans 13, he certainly had in mind Jesus' example of submitting to the Jewish authorities who forced Pilate to permit the crucifixion of Christ. He also had in mind the first Christian martyr who submitted to the authorities governed by the Sanhedrin. Remember Stephen, and how Stephen was stoned to death because of his faith in God. Now, we don't know what'll happen, but we know what the scripture says. And in fact, another passage in by Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13-21, both Peter and Paul are on the same page. And Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to the masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. The ways and the purposes of God are generally unsearchable and untraceable to the finite mind. We don't know the plans of God. We know his word, we know what he has revealed, but God is on the throne. And in this world of turmoil and all the wickedness and all the terrible things that are happening, remember, there's one that sits on the throne and he's in control. You and I can trust him in every situation. This is not a time for us to be fearful and to be worried and everything else. It's a time for us to raise up and praise God because he's on the throne and he does all things well. You know what? Resisting authority is resisting God. Isn't that what verse 2 says? Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. It's amazing. God is repeated 3 times in the first 2 verses here. The rebel may think that he is fighting only men, but Christians know better. It's clear that the judgment which men will receive for themselves is a verdict from God and not merely one from men. The Bible says they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. However it will be executed, and what its severity will be, Paul doesn't tell us. But God is involved. And man is involved. Remember the words of the old man of God, Gamaliel, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 39, when he's talking to the Sanhedrin as they're out to persecute the disciples. And Gamaliel says, "But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." God is on our side, and he's on the throne. He's looking after you. He's got your best interest in his mind. I like that passage in Acts chapter 23, 1 to 5. And it says, this is a story of Paul and how he knew the idea of respecting those in authority. And it says in Acts chapter 23, verse 1 to 5, Paul looked intently at the council and said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." Powerful statement. Can you say that? I've lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God. The high priest Ananias commanded those standing beside him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit to try me according to the law and in violation of the law, order me to be struck?" But the bystanders said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I was not aware, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" See the respect Apostle Paul has to authority. That should be in the life of believers. We should have respect for those in authority. And resisting authority is fighting God. No matter how wicked or oppressive the leaders of a country may be, believers are assured that these evil men are not beyond God's control. God is watching everything, and especially you, the people of God. He's watching you. He's looking after you. Resistance to government constitutes opposition to God. Submission to governing authorities is the attitude of believers because the authority is from God. But secondly, because the authority has a purpose. And we see that in verses 3 to 4. Not a cause of fear for good behavior. In verse 3 it says, "For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil." Human government is necessary for the protection of life and property, for the repression of crime, for the rewarding and encouraging of virtue. Verse 4 says, "For it is a minister of God to you for good." Isn't that amazing? That's a powerful statement. He says here, "For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid." So God has set up different governing authorities, whatever country, wherever those in authority have been established by God. Isn't that what the Bible's teaching us? The Bible teaches us that all authority comes from Him. Whether you like the authority or not isn't the issue. And let me go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 2 to 5. And it says here, "I say, keep the command of the king because of the oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave him. Do not join in an evil matter, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since the word of the king is authoritative, who will say to him, 'What are you doing?' He who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble, for a wise heart knows the proper time and procedure." God's word teaches us that all authority is established by Him. Whether you like the authority, whether you agree with the authority, God is on the throne, and He's the one who establishes authority. Those in authority are here for our good. And we all know examples of times when the right thing was not done. We all know of times in government when what they did was wrong. We all know that. And there's many examples. But we know that God has put the government there for a purpose. Because they're human, they do make mistakes. But verse 4 tells us that they are a terror to evildoers. Those who do evil will be punished by the authorities. And authorities are a terror to evildoers. They are to be to frighten the evildoer away from his bad deeds and to help him do good. If you do evil, be afraid. And then in verse 4, let me read that verse to you. "For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." Interesting phrase. It does not bear the sword for nothing. This is not a mere symbol of power, but the actual sword in the hand of the executioner who inflicts the death penalty on criminals. This is Paul, back in Paul's day writing. And Paul is writing to the Romans as a Roman citizen. So he issues the Greek word here for sword, makaria, and the Roman short sword, which was used for executing citizens. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament teach capital punishment. We don't have it in our land now, but according to the Word of God, capital punishment was taught. You kill somebody, you will be killed. That's the biblical Old Testament message and the New Testament message. The authority of God's word. And the Bible teaches capital punishment. The world doesn't believe it and they don't live by it. Paul taught and believed this principle. And in Acts chapter 25, verses 10 and 11, we have the story of Paul, the apostle, and he answers, I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourselves know very well. If, listen to this, if, however, I am guilty of anything deserving death, I am not afraid to die. The Apostle Paul believed in capital punishment, and he was willing to die if he did something wrong that deserved death. Capital punishment. You know, in when we had capital punishment, there was never a person who killed somebody that got out of jail and killed again. You know, that happens all the time now. You murder somebody and you're in jail for a while and you get out and then you go and murder somebody else. That was never repeated when capital punishment was in place. And I remember Gary Zeal back in when we first started the church and we were having our Christmas banquets in the YMCA there, or community hall. We had Reverend Gary Zeal, who was a criminal. He wrote a book called Criminal Forever, and he got saved, and he's now with Jesus. But he was a fantastic evangelist, and we had him into our church banquet in 1995. And his testimony as one who roamed in the realm of criminal activity, he said, there was one time when I was being chased by the cops, and I could have turned around and shot one of the cops that was chasing me. But he said, I knew if I did it, I would face capital punishment. I knew that I would be dead, so I didn't do it. He was a strong proponent of capital punishment. He knew the deterrent effect of that. Well, the Word of God teaches that in this passage of Scripture. And the Bible teaches we ought to submit to authority. Submission to governing authority is to be the attitude of believers, because the authority is from God, and secondly, the authority has a purpose. But thirdly, because the authority demands responsibility. That is, obedience. Therefore, verse 5, it's necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Obedience to the authority is not merely external, suggested by reasons of the punishment to be avoided, but it also is based on moral grounds. Two reasons in this verse are because of wrath, and secondly, because for the Christian or the conscience' sake. Christians should cooperate with rulers in securing and promoting peace, temperance, morality, and honesty, truthfulness, and justice. Augustine, one of the great church fathers, said, without justice, what are kingdoms but great gangs of robbers? According to Romans chapter 13, verse 7, the believer's obedience to authority has a twofold nature. First, we are to pay taxes. And tax season's coming up. So think about this when you prepare your taxes. Whether tribute, that is personal or property tax, or custom, a tax on imports or exports when you cross the border, you're supposed to pay taxes on things you bring across the border. There are many that try to hide, get away from paying the tax. Christians shouldn't do that. We as Christians should not do that. Jesus taught us in Matthew 22, verse 21, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We need to give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Dishonesty or withholding of taxes is disobedience to God. When you cheat on your income tax, or when you come across the border and you're trying to deceive and hide what you're taking, that is ungodly. Never be a cheater. Taxes are to be paid, and Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We need to be willing to pay taxes and also to respect and honor, which is the second aspect of obedience. This applies to our treatment of government officials. These are officers that need to be honored because they are held by divine commission. And the Christian must not be guilty of helping the world in its chaos of lawlessness. Down the States, you hear about all the police officers that are being shot. It better not be a Christian that's doing that, because that is against the Word of God. It is the responsibility of each Christian to keep in proper subjection and obedience to authorities. And then there's also the aspect of our responsibility not only to be obedient, but to be in prayer for those in authority over us. As the scripture tells us over in Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, it says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Are you praying for your leaders? It's admonished here that we are to be people of prayer for those in authority over us. And that's whether you like them or not. That's whether you agree with their politics or the political position. You hold them up in prayer. The Word of God places a strong responsibility upon believers to pray for those in power. But, you know, there's also a limitation. And if God laid down something for us as Christians and the state tells us to do something different, then there's a conflict between God and the state, right? And there's no question, should be no question in our mind at that time of what kind of choice we're going to make. Remember Daniel in the book of Daniel and how Daniel was told not to pray for 30 days. But what did Daniel do? He prayed three times a day. And he opened his window towards Jerusalem. The Jews back then faced Jerusalem as they prayed. And he prayed three times a day. And because he disobeyed the authority that was set up by God, what happened? They threw him into the den of lions. But you think Daniel was afraid? He knew who was on the throne. Even if they ate him up, Daniel knew he was obeying God. But God is on the throne. Remember the three Hebrew boys, who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who did not bow down to that great idol. All the people on the plain bowed down to that massive idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. But the three Hebrews did not bow down, because they bowed down only to the true God. So what happened? Here they come, and under the decree of the great King Nebuchadnezzar, they're thrown into a burning fire, a furnace. And what happens? The Lord appears with them. And the fire doesn't touch them. That's amazing. When you think of that, how God Almighty protected His children. God was watching over each one. And they saw Him walking around in the fire. Could you imagine? And they came out of that fire. Ropes burnt off them. And they were free, because they served the living God. The God they served is the God you serve. He's on the throne. We don't have to be afraid of the government if you're doing what's right. And if you're serving God, you serve God when they tell you to do something contrary. In such situations, a Christian must respond as Peter did and the other apostles, where he said, we must obey God rather than man, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. So as in the days of Paul, when men were disobedient to the government, so also today we see the same situation prevalent. Men despise authorities and speak evil of dignitaries. Christians ought not to be in that number, but should be submitted to authority, because the authority is from God, because the authority has a purpose, and because the authority demands responsibility. God is on the throne, and you and I need to know that He's looking after us. A scripture I want to read in closing is Titus chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7. Titus chapter 3, and the Bible says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers." So I'm following what Paul told Timothy. "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient and to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hating and hateful. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit." God loves you, and He has a plan for each one of us. We need to be in submission. Walk with our Savior in submission to authority.